What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here, hour number three. And for those of you watching on YouTube, this gorgeous creature sitting next to me is the lovely Lady Claire, who, as always, joins us on hour number three of our Fridays. And what's the first thing you want to talk about today?
Well, the first thing I wanted to talk about and add a little to, I know that you mentioned it toward the beginning of the show, this whole situation with Maxine Waters. And all I could think, she was, as most of you know, terrified that the Oath Keepers were going to come to her office and do something violent. Well, they never showed up. And the supporters set fire to the American flag. And some L.A. residents joined activist groups, as well as union church leaders and more, for the midday demonstrations. Now, as Mike said, the burning of the flag is constitutionally protected under a Supreme Court ruling. But I hope that you get a chance to look at these images and think about it. You know, I have to wonder, Mike, which of these people who legitimately came to protest believed for one second that their lives were going to be changed by it or made better? Can you explain this to me after she's been in power almost 40 years? And if you live in L.A. and you know where Compton is, the area she represents is very rough.
It's not doing well at all, which begs the question of just how is it she gets reelected all this time? I mean, Compton is so rough. She does own a residence there, an address, because technically you have to have an address in the district you represent.
Oh, but she lives in Hancock Park, which, again, if you know L.A., is one of the more tony and in some areas gated and guarded part of the
forest. I think her house is something like a $4 million house. So she's doing really well while her constituents are not doing well at all. But, this rabble-rousing, if you will, strikes me as very dangerous. And maybe the goal is to try and actually create rioting all across America where somebody gets to declare a national emergency and complete the transition. Let's see. Okay, I'm being asked to move your mic back just a little bit.
Okay, thank you.
There we are.
All right, okay. All right. And did some of these demonstrators come from one of those rent-a-mob companies? And Craigslist ad had an ad, 15 an hour to protest at the Trump rally. So we know these organizations exist.
I wonder if this is what they're using to say we've got low unemployment. It is all these people who get to work for one day, you know, for this thing.
And in looking, and I say this not in any derogatory way to the protesters who were sincerely there and don't feel that their lives are doing well, were any of these demonstrators chided by their employers for being late coming back from lunch because they participated in the demonstration?
Well, I would imagine probably a lot of them are actually on food stamps and welfare. And, you know, Compton's not a lot of jobs in Compton, you know, unless you're a motorcycle mechanic.
It probably. Some very interesting things about Waters' background. She was charged by the Senate Ethics Committee on three counts. And as Mike just mentioned, Compton is so crime and gang filled, she won't even live there, you know. And I'm very glad that the Oath Keepers did not show up, because they didn't want to risk a violent confrontation, thought better of it, and stayed away. You know, and I would very much, something I did yesterday that I want to share with our readers and listeners. In commenting on this potential for this Oath Keepers demonstration that never happened, I did something rather momentous for me. I have invited Maxine Waters to our home for tea. You heard me correctly. The next time she is on Oahu. Now, I wouldn't place bets.
I had nothing to do with this.
I wouldn't place bets that she's going to show up. But I said, could we possibly talk and reason together, you know, in a reasonable kind of way, and talk about it and see if we can find some areas where she and I might agree. You know, we are both sister Christians, I believe. And I'd like to hope that that and some civility would count for something, you know. And but I don't know. I don't know.
Are you trying to get back up to the
top?
Yes,
I'm trying to get back up to the top. Thank you. Okay. And he has a wonderful shortcut.
Yes.
Okay.
Let me just get this
all
for
right.
You.
Okay. But yes, Maxine Waters.
Too many buttons.
Yes. Yes. Come to tea at our place, at the Rivero home.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we are.
I'd like to focus now on the insanity that's been this last week relative to President Trump and Putin.
Yes.
And there was an article recently that for more than a decade, out of New York Slimes, for more than a decade, Russia has meddled in elections around the world, supported brutal dictators, and invaded sovereign nations, all to the detriment of United States interests. And I think we have a shout out.
Well, yeah, we just have a shout out to our on-air affiliates who are rejoining the network. Mm-hmm. And I see you've already made the connection up here to displacement projection syndrome, because everything that is in that quote from the New York Slimes is what the U.S. has been doing.
Hello.
The U.S. has been meddling in elections all over the world. The U.S. is invading sovereign nations, and the U.S. supported brutal dictators like the Shah of Iran, Pinochet early on, Saddam Hussein. So, I mean, it's ridiculous for the New York Times to come on out with this and not understand. Americans will look at that and just laugh silly, saying they're talking about us.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And there was another article that comes to us from globalresearch.ca. It's a Canadian outlet, and I encourage people to take a look at it. They have some very well-written and sober commentaries on the current state of geopolitics. And the article is titled, Donald Trump was elected by Russia? Mass dementia in the Western establishment. You know, and It is a form of mental illness. And my response to this is that the liberal press and the liberals' response to the Helsinki summit would be hysterically funny were it not for the serious accusations that have been raised against President Trump to the point of labeling him a traitor for wanting to pursue a pathway toward building a better relationship with Russia, rather than a pathway to war.
And I have a comment about that, because remember, shortly before he was assassinated, there were posters being put up all around Dallas, Texas, with John F. Kennedy's picture on there, basically calling him a traitor to the United States for refusing to confront the Soviet Union.
Yeah,
so
and
it is getting very scary how many parallels there are right now.
And to me, and from my perspective, Mike, the real traitors to this country are those aligned with the military-industrial complex who are doing everything in their power to convince my brother and sister Americans to perceive war as the only way for the U.S. government to achieve the geopolitical outcomes it wants, when there are other ways, innumerable other ways, to accomplish the U.S. government's goal.
Well, you have to look at what are the real goals here. Mm-hmm. The major goal is to drag the world economy back under the hegemonic domination of the U.S. dollar. They want to go back to Bretton Woods.
Right.
Another agenda clearly is, because the U.S. is in decline, they want to make sure that Russia and China decline further and faster, so that we can still say we're the greatest nation on earth, even as we descend into squalor. The armaments industry wants to make more money. And of course, you've got Israel, who wants Iran broken up and balkanized.
And there is another piece, again, from a source that I like to link to. It's called Zero Hedge. And the title of the article is The New Handmaids of the Warfare State, Democrats and the Liberal Media. And it talks about the spending for the military industrial complex, and the fact that the spending is going to ultimately cause a fiscal breakdown. There's no way to get around it, Mike, as it escalates and escalates.
We're spending money on stuff which hopefully will never be used.
Yeah.
But if it's used, most of it is used only once. Mm-hmm. And the money is just pouring into this gigantic maw over at the Pentagon.
Yeah, the sinkhole.
And nothing that really benefits our nation
other
than the money junkies over at the weapons factories
is
coming back out. And it's mostly borrowed money, because it's no coincidence that the size of the U.S. budget deficit is roughly the same size as the Defense Department budget, the military security budget.
And I have something I want to share with our audience, because I watched while the press conference was being held on Monday in Helsinki. And when I saw President Trump in that press conference with President Putin, and they were talking about potentials that could happen for peace, and peace won on the basis of hard-won moral negotiations, President Trump, with whose administration I have a hug and a very gentle, not hurting punch relationship, was speaking for and to me. Yeah, Claire Rivero, composer, church music lady, me. I was very impressed by the sanity that I saw breaking out. And I've got to tell you, Mike, I would believe that most sane Americans want peace achieved through intelligent negotiations rather than war. And a guy who hit it on the head from Daily Mail, Pierce Morgan, with whom I agree sometimes and with whom I absolutely do not agree others, had a wonderful op-ed, and it said, whisper it, but despite his terrible week, Trump may be absolutely right to pursue this new bromance with Putin.
Good.
And I think he said what needed to be said. You know, and there are, President Putin is no saint. We know this, okay?
Well, we don't really know. We've never met him.
No, but, you know, probably not a saint. But I think the fact that these two gentlemen are starting to talk may herald some possibilities we didn't have before.
Yeah, and but with, look how many people are trying to prevent that second meeting.
Yeah.
Chuck Schumer is out there. Leon Panetta is out there. I mean,
Dan Coats, who chuckled with incredulity when the news was broken to him during a live interview by Andrea Mitchell.
Yep.
And it shouldn't, you know, it shouldn't be sparking outrage. What I'd like to hope is that it's sparking some hope that maybe the numbers of wars and the reasons for wars, or justifications, if you will, are going to start to diminish, because President Trump, love him or hate him, did something that required, let's say, male attributes of titanium that click. It did require that to even do this. And I hope that the tenor and the what I'm feeling is this rising fury from, it's like from a misdirected magic trick, you know?
It is.
Yeah.
And well, see, the military industrial complex and its allies in Congress, like, well, John McCain.
Yeah.
They have been trying to rebuild the Cold War for years now.
Yeah.
I mean, when the Soviet Union collapsed and the original Cold War collapsed with it, you know, the American people said, oh, wow, well, now we can take some of this money we've been spending on the military and we can spend it on our schools and roads and hospitals and things like that. And the military industrial complex said, we can't allow that to happen. So we need a war. We need more wars here. We need another enemy here.
Yeah.
And so for the last few years now, Russia went from being a friend and a partner, member of the G8, everybody's doing business with it, you know, good buddy, and all of a sudden the demonization began. Russia's doing this, Russia's doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, Vladimir Putin passes gas in elevators,
right,
and whatever else they can think about it, because they need an enemy to be able to go on scaring us out of our money and the lives of our children.
It's a very Israeli tactic, by the way.
Well,
you know?
For those of us who lived through the first Cold War, we realize it's all a giant bluff.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up in an age where we were constantly being warned that the Soviets were going to nuke us. They were going to invade our shores. They were going to force socialized medicine on us and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
It never happened.
No.
The only time we actually got close to a real conflict with the Soviet Union was the Cuban Missile Crisis, and the U.S. provoked that by putting those Pershing nuclear-tipped missiles into Turkey.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, for all you may think of him or want to say about him, let's give the guy a little bit of credit on both this as opening up dialogue. The same with Kim Jong-un in North Korea. I'm hoping that that is going to bear fruit. But I think that we really need to give this guy a little credit for doing what a lot of other American presidents didn't seem to be able to do. He's opening some doors.
Well, that's definitely a good thing. But I hope his security is on their tiptoes, because Trump just made a lot of enemies. And again, the parallels to what went down with Kennedy cannot be overlooked.
Yeah. Pretty frightening.
It is very, very frightening.
And apparently with Donald Trump, he's going to be inviting Putin to Washington this fall. And I think that's another good move.
I would agree with you on that. But again, just like they tried to sabotage the first summit between them, the powers that be, the war party, they're already out there saying, no, this can't happen. This can't happen. You know, and especially trying to pry into what Putin and Trump talked about in that closed door meeting. And they're basically violating the separation of powers doctrine.
Oh, yeah.
But you've got Leon Panetta saying, we have a right to know what was going on in there. Yep. And Schumer is saying, no more meetings until we know what was in there. Now, fortunately, Congress voted down the bill to force the translator who had been in the room to testify under oath. So it's a little bit of good news on that one.
Yeah. And the other ironic thing is Putin doesn't need a translator. His
English
is absolutely brilliant. And I have to say, and there are some things, as I've said, I'm not happy about the Trump administration with, but this is one where I am, because in my world, I will take honest negotiations over war anytime, Mike.
Well, I would as well. Mm-hmm. But the problem is you've got all those people who make money off of war. Again, I'm sure that we have right now a lot of members of Congress who, because of 17 years of ongoing war, their stock portfolios are loaded up with all these defense stocks.
Yeah.
And if all of a sudden peace breaks out, they're going to lose all that money and they're going to be very unhappy. They'll cry.
Yes,
they will cry.
I know.
And
Turning over domestically here, there has been yet another road rage incident on the part of a police officer in Indianapolis who beat an innocent cancer patient for telling him to slow down.
Now, it was the cancer patient who told the cop to slow down.
Yes.
Because there's apparently a speeding problem on that street.
Yeah.
And it was an undercover cop in an unmarked car.
Yes.
So the cancer patient didn't realize it was a cop, but the cop was doing about 50 miles an hour.
Yeah.
We actually have the same problem on the road outside of our house. It's posted for 25. Everybody comes roaring down that hill.
Well, we've got drag racers.
There are drag bike races out there early in the morning.
Yeah.
And so this cancer patient was just calling to the cop, saying, slow down. And the cop just beats him up.
Yeah. Now, I have one gentleman I need to call out on this. Attorney General Jeff Sessions, white courtesy telephone, please. I would like this man to start telling the truth when he goes out to Police Officers Association affairs, etc. The statistics bear out that there is no real war on the cops, but there are wars against Americans by our police officers.
They're
That's
clearly out of control. Very few cops ever get punished for doing this sort of behavior.
Yeah.
We know that a lot of them are on these prescription antidepressants, which can, you know, get in the way of impulse control.
Oh, yeah.
So it'll just pop into their head, I'm going to beat up this guy for telling me I shouldn't be speeding, even though I'm speeding.
Yeah.
And they just go with it.
Yeah. It's you've told the stories that many times someone had poor impulse control and was going to do something awful and they got stopped. And they get asked, why were you going to do this? And they have no idea.
No, they don't. We got to take a break for commercials, and we will be right back.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And before we turn back here to the Lady Claire, Fox News has just confirmed something I reported earlier in the program. We're talking about the friction along the border with Gaza, that, yes, an IDF soldier was in fact shot and killed by a Hamas sniper. And I imagine that must have come as a bit of a shock for all these Israeli snipers who've just been firing into these crowds with impunity all these weeks. And all of a sudden there's bullets coming back at them and be a look of shock on their face. Say, they're shooting back. Are they allowed to do that?
Yeah.
I didn't think so.
I've got some more that I want to share with you on Israel a little later.
All right, fine.
But right now, and this comes to us from Blacklisted News, again, a site that I would recommend. While the rich are enjoying yachts that have tiny yachts inside them, an estimated 400,000 people in the U.S. are suffering under modern slavery. And apparently there's a new Gilded Age going on for the very rich. And this is a very interesting study. And it's according to the 2018 Global Slavery Index, published annually by the Walk Free Foundation. There are 40 million people worldwide living under such conditions, including one in 800 Americans. Let that number sink in a second. 1 in 800 Americans.
Okay. Now, are they including the prison population?
No.
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 Okay.
No. This is a really staggering statistic. And you have to think of places and areas where you've got, let's say, big tobacco.
Yep.
And the situations in which the people who are not legally documented are working. And yeah, I can see why that could be company store, slave type, poverty yep. conditions. Yeah, yep. it happens. And we also cannot forget how the U.S. citizens' love of cheap consumer products fuels these conditions in the countries that make them.
Well, I have to speak here in defense of the U.S. consumer.
Okay.
I would prefer to go into a store and buy a high-quality product that I don't have to replace 6 months from now.
Yeah.
Even if it's more expensive and made here in America.
Mm-hmm.
It is these importers, the owners of the big box stores, mm-hmm. who have arbitrarily decided we are not going to carry the high quality merchandise.
Okay.
We're going to import the really inexpensive merchandise so that our profits go up. And so mm-hmm. it will wear out in 6 months mm-hmm. and our customers have to buy the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah.
It's not really the U.S. consumers. I think most people understand if you buy quality, you only have to buy it maybe once.
Yeah.
If you buy
the
cheap thing, you're going to be replacing it every 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to go over to touch on a story that is breaking. Apparently, more evidence has been uncovered and shows that Obama was spying on Trump illegally as early as 2015. Apparently, in early June, the U.S. Senate released over 500 pages of information related to the Spygate scandal. Hidden in the information were unredacted Strzok page texts that show that the FBI initiated actions to insert multiple spies in the Trump campaign in December of 2015.
And they weren't just spies.
Yeah.
Some of them were agent provocateurs that were trying to entrap
uh-huh.
and compromise
yeah.
Trump campaign officials.
Yeah. And I am completely unsurprised at this development because President Obama has an industrial strength penchant for sneaky, as evidenced by his throwing more U.S. servicemen into the civil war in Yemen under his watch at the behest of the Saudi royal family and government, and with barely a yawn from the alleged U.S. press about it. And to this day, the U.S. prostitutes will not use the words war crimes to discuss the U.S. military's enabling of Saudi forces here, Mike.
Okay, and I want to put out a little
yeah.
clarification.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not a civil war in Yemen any more than it was a civil war over in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
It
right.
was an attempted overthrow of the government and replacement of the government. And there was a successful
mm-hmm.
intervention in Yemen some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people of Yemen decided they didn't want to live under foreign puppet rule. So they kicked out the puppet rulers.
Right.
Much as the way the Iranians did in 1979.
Right.
Well, the U.S. can't have these provinces breaking free. Mm-hmm. And that's when they got together with the Saudis to go on in and we're going to just slap those Yemenis around until they learn to love their foreign puppet rulers. And that's what this is really all about.
Yeah.
It's not a civil war. It is an outside intervention
mm-hmm.
attempting to basically bring the country under we call it covert colonialism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the days when one country would invade another country and hoist their flag over the land, those are definitely gone.
Yeah.
But the idea of going on in and seizing control of the other country, that's still alive and well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what is going on right now. And they create the illusion of a democracy and a free government, but it's really subservient to the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the new term of craft, covert colonialism.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree.
Okay. We got to take another break here for mm-hmm. commercials and we will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
nurse. Let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero? Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And Claire, take it away.
Okay. Michael touched on this a little bit earlier today, but I'd like to add some information. And I also have some questions for you on this. Apparently, Syria's Assad is set to recover Golan Frontier as surrender deal agreed. Now, this is not sourced, which makes it a little bit of icky sticky, but, you know, it would be nice to hope that this is going to happen.
Well, actually, it was just on Fox News.
Okay.
The militants down along that Golan border have surrendered. Syria is now back in control.
Okay.
And hopefully, if everybody just settles down and, you know, stays calm, that will be the end of it there.
Mm-hmm. But the questions I have, because as we know, Israel is now occupying the Golan and selling the oil and natural gas underneath,
yes.
Right? The question is here, to what lengths will Russia and al-Assad go to recover the Golan from Israel? And what lengths will Israel go to keep it? And the other question, Mike, I'd like you to answer is, what can we do to keep the U.S. from getting caught up in this fight, which could well turn into a hot war against Russia in Syria over the Golan? How do we keep that from happening?
Well, I think Assad would be well advised to just write off the Golan, because on that path lies madness.
Yeah.
It would result in a war between Israel and Syria, and Syria's already just they've been at war for 7 years mm-hmm. and they need to rebuild.
Yeah.
What lengths would Russia do? I think Putin would sit this one out.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to have any part of it because of the possibility that the United States would come in on Israel's side and we get into a direct confrontation.
Yeah.
I would say probably, you know, who knows? The proper thing would be for Syria to go to the United Nations, but mm-hmm. as long as the U.S. ambassador to the Security Council uses the veto, the U.N. really can't do anything about it.
And you know Nikki Haley will.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, nobody gets to be U.S. ambassador to the United Nations without absolutely pledging to veto any motions critical of Israel.
Right.
That's in the job description. You know, make coffee. Copying things, veto anti-Israel resolution.
Okay, I don't think it's quite that simplistic.
Oh, okay.
The Pentagon is stating that U.S.-backed militias in Syria are holding 600 foreign fighters in custody. And it's like, what are they going to do with them? And apparently they're in SDF custody. And it doesn't seem – there doesn't seem to be a plan to repatriate these guys.
When they say foreign fighters, where are they from?
They're from 40 or from Russia with about a dozen from Germany and France, respectively. And there has been, you know, there are real questions. And SecDef Mattis has said that the countries of origin need to take responsibility for them. And I would say respectfully, SecDef Mattis, no. The countries of origin did not encourage these men to fight the duly elected Syrian government and the militaries. The U.S. did that. And so if political resolutions between these militia and the Syrian government can be facilitated, so much the better. You know, I would like to hope that the militias who were armed and trained and funded by the U.S. and the Syrian government are going to start a real dialogue and get these guys home.
Well, the problem I have is that I am certain, pardon me, I'm certain there are still people in the military-industrial complex inside mm-hmm. the deep state who are still trying to figure out some way they can turn this around and go back against Assad. Either a new false flag chemical weapon attack.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that they're evacuating the white helmets.
Mm-hmm.
They get to go home and retire on I'm sure it will be a very nice, healthy stipend for their mm-hmm. services rendered. But we're not out of this until we're really out of it. And the big issue, of course, is we have SecDef Mattis saying that the United States must stay in Syria to prevent the reemergence of ISIS. Again, the issue here is that Syria has invited Russia to be there. Mm-hmm. Russia's done a very, very good job of cleaning out the U.S.-backed terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
The United States legally does not have any basis to be in Syria.
Yeah.
There's no U.N. Security Council resolution authorizing it. There's mm-hmm. been no declaration of war by the Congress. It's just the executive branch saying, I feel like going into Syria today. You know, there's nothing good on TV. Let's invade Syria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was something else that came to us from, actually from, What Does It Mean? And it's an opinion. One FBI text in Russia probe that should alarm every American. And, they're characterizing Lisa Page and Peter Strzok as,
Strzok
as the don't text and investigate public service ads airing soon at an FBI office near you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's given the FBI a black eye, laying bare a raw political bias being brought into the workplace that agents are supposed to check at the door when they strap on their guns and badges. It's no secret anymore that they openly discuss using the powers of their office to stop Trump from becoming president. The only question is whether any official acts they took in the Russian collusion probe were driven by those sentiments. And I mean, come on.
That's going to be kind of hard to establish that causality in a court of law. Did you pick up on the story I mentioned earlier
mm-hmm.
that Peter Strzok's wife
is
in charge of the investigation of the Clinton Foundation?
And she's
Foundation,
tamping it down.
Which
she's
is why
it down.
It's gone absolutely nowhere.
Yeah.
They're all dirty. They're all dirty. Yeah. These people are all just slimy, corrupt monsters.
Mm-hmm. Turning my attention again toward Israel and Gaza. There was an article from Global Research. Gaza patients appeal to the world to save their lives. And they organized these hospital patients, a sit-in in central Gaza City, to appeal to the international community, Quds Press quoted Tuesday. And the sit-ins included patients who were wounded by Israel as well as rights groups. It took place in front of the Eretz crossing where Gazans can pass through to receive treatment in Israel or Palestinian hospitals in the West Bank.
Except that crossing is now closed.
Speakers at the sit-in said that Gaza's hospitals suffer from horrendous shortages in medicine, lab equipment, testing materials due to the PA sanctions and Israel's siege of the Strip. The patients called for the international community to save their lives by lifting the siege and the sanctions. Spokesperson for the Ministry of Health in Gaza, Ashraf Al-Kidra, called for immediate and unconditional end to the suffering of Gaza patients. And Mike, you know, Israelis should be ashamed that Gaza patients have to do this in order to get attention to the appalling conditions of Gaza's hospital.
Well, the problem is Israel has no shame.
No, they have collectively had it surgically removed.
They have shown themselves to be completely unrepentant.
Yeah.
They're still out there trying to act like they're the victims of these terror kites and terror balloons, and that it's perfectly justified for Israel to be shooting all of these protesters, unarmed protesters, with these expanding butterfly bullets.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's buying it, though.
Yeah.
I think the Bloody Monday massacre was a turning point.
I would like to hope that you were correct on that. And here was another article that appeared in antiwar.com, another site that I commend to all of our readers and listeners. Israel declares itself an apartheid state, and governments must hold it accountable, by Omar Baghdouti. There was a statement released today by the Palestinian Boycott National Committee. Israel effectively declares itself an apartheid state. Palestinian civil society reacts to Israel's Jewish non-state law.
No, nation-state law.
Nation-state law. Thank you. Today, they gave the final approval to the basic law, Israel as the nation-state of the Jewish people, that unambiguously defines Israel as a state that belongs exclusively to the Jewish people. Now, Mike, this is despite the fact that one in five citizens of Israel is an indigenous, non-Jewish Palestinian.
Well, this is setting the stage for basically the final confiscation of Gaza and the West Bank and the forced deportation of the remaining Palestinians.
Yeah. And Adala, which is a leading Palestinian human rights organization in Israel, describes how the law affirms the principle of apartheid in housing, land, and citizenship. It concludes by saying that this law constitutionally sanctions institutionalized discrimination. And Najwan Berekta, a Palestinian citizen of Israel, reacted, "This is why the world, both individuals and governments, need to move forward with the BDS movement just as quickly as possible. Economics is a language the Israeli people and government understand very clearly." And I would say that that is absolutely correct.
Yeah, and that's why Israel is trying to get their subservient governments around the world, including ours, to pass laws outlawing support for the boycott, divestment, sanctions movement, even though boycotts are a recognized form of nonviolent, peaceful protest protected by the First Amendment.
Yeah.
But then Israel hates that First Amendment.
Oh,
they want that one to go away.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. I'd like to hop over to Iraq for a moment. And cleric Muqtada al-Sadr, remember this guy?
Yep.
All right. He was the gentleman who made sure that the Americans got out of Iraq the first time, exactly to the time and date of the SOFA agreement there. Well, apparently right now he is backing Iraqi protesters and calling for a delay in government formation. And his political bloc won Iraq's May 12th election, and he called on all politicians to delay efforts to form a new government until the demands of protesters seeking better services in the south are met. And he's very with the program. He's tweeting, "The winning political parties in the election have to suspend all political dialogues for forming coalitions and until they meet protesters' rightful demands, he tweeted in his first public comment.
Well, there is a problem,
okay,
because he's putting the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
They've got to come together and form the government before they can start to address the needs of the protesters. I think we're looking at possibly a bad translation where Muqtada al-Sadr basically was saying, we've got to put aside the partisan bickering and just get together and get the job done. That would make a lot more sense.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. But I'm glad that he seems to be listening to the people of Iraq, and he's trying to come up with a solution. That's a lot better than what they've had so far.
You want to back up just a little bit? There was a comment there I wanted to respond to.
Okay.
Where it said, Iraqi protesters blame bad government, bad roads, bad people.
Yes.
Well, let's not forget that Iraq was a rather beautiful country until the United States went on in and just messed everything up.
I agree. Bopping back over to Israel, Israel's defense minister says a large and painful military operation set for Gaza.
It's already underway.
Yeah.
It's underway.
Yeah. And there are all signs are currently pointing toward a broader outbreak of fighting. As in the new comments, the Israeli defense minister is preparing the public for, again, the quote, a large and painful military operation to come. They, in Israel, officials and media have referred to this latest flare-up as the biggest attack since Operation Protective Edge in 2014. And now Defense Minister Lieberman is warning that Israel is prepared to go to war if Gazans don't cease releasing incendiary kites and balloons in an attempt to set communities and farmlands in southern Israel ablaze.
Well, you know, I have this idea. I'll bet you if Israel's stopped gunning down unarmed protesters, the Gazans would stop sending the balloons and the kites.
Probably. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I think that would be a really good idea. But, you know, Israel seems to have this idea that they can go and just shoot anybody that they want. And if they dare shoot back, oh, my goodness, you're an anti-Semite. You're a Jew hater.
What I'm getting out of this, expect an Israeli genocide of Gaza.
I think Israel's going to take Gaza back.
Yep.
And I made that prediction all the way back when Ariel Sharon made that deal. We're going to get out of Gaza Strip, let the Palestinians have it, as long as you let us build the illegal settlements in the West Bank. And I predicted back then, once those settlements were realities on the ground, Israel would move to take back Gaza, and I think that's about what's to happen.
Yeah, and the observation I'd share with our listeners and viewers is that while the U.S. is embroiled with faux Trumpophobic and Russiaphobic charges stemming from the Helsinki summit between Trump and Putin, Tel Aviv may think that this is possibly one of the best times for the IDF to simply bomb everything that moves in Gaza, including infants, women, and the medically fragile elderly, and figures Netanyahu can give his rationale for the genocide to Trump at a later point in time. And this has already been telegraphed.
Yes.
At the Israel Today, Israeli army told to prepare for a large-scale operation in Gaza.
Yeah, they're going to go on in.
Yeah.
They're definitely going to go on in.
How soon do you think?
Well, they're going in now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they've sent in the warplanes. Mm-hmm. They already have the snipers along the fence. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like Israel can't go for more than 2.5-3 years without pounding those people into the earth.
Yeah.
But I think this time they're just going to go for it completely. And move on in, take over Gaza, execute Hamas, and everybody living in Gaza will be told to go live somewhere else.
Where can they go? Because their Arab brothers and sisters are not taking them in, Mike.
Well, you seem to forget the Arab nations in the area have already taken in most of the displaced Palestinians from the creation of Israel. There
are huge
Palestinian refugee camps all over the Mideast.
Yeah, and they're full.
And they're full.
Yeah. Okay.
And they're absolutely full. The people who are still in Gaza and the West Bank are the Palestinians who refuse to leave.
Yeah. Yeah. Would like to bop over to China and South Korea. And there was an article, I believe, from Zero Hedge. China and South Korea will displace the West as the world's innovation leaders by 2029. And the article goes on to state that unless the U.S. takes action now to improve its innovation and commercialization processes, it's going to lose its leading positions by all measures of innovation by 2029. And the outlook is similarly gloomy for the EU and the UK. And they predicted that East Asian countries, mainly China and South Korea, are set to race past their Western counterparts in patent grant numbers, patent quality growth, and return on R&D spending, among other metrics. And this was jointly produced by the Center for Advancing Innovation, CAI, and PatSnap, the Innovation Arms Race 2018.
And well, this is what you get when your colleges are cranking out liberal snowflake art history majors instead of engineers and scientists. We have to take a commercial break here. Okay. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And this attack on Trump, it's degenerated into a farce. Apparently, some petitioners in Washington, D.C. Have launched a petition to take away the liquor license from the Trump Hotel because he is a bad character. And I noticed earlier today, Fox News was regurgitating that story about how Donald Trump may have had an affair with a playmate and what healthy young men didn't dream of doing that growing up, be honest, and paid her off. And now they're saying there may be a recording. You know something? I don't care.
I don't either.
I really don't care.
Yeah.
And this bickering, this hysteria of trying to find something to harm Donald Trump, it's backflashing on the Democrats. They're hoisting with their own petard. Every time they continue forward with more of this politically correct nonsense or Russia or anything, their numbers go down. Their donations go down. They're burning out. They don't know when to quit, which has been a feature of liberalism pretty much all along.
Yep.
But it is. And it's embarrassing to me as an American citizen to have the world watching how our government is behaving now. It is embarrassing.
Yeah.
It really is. Okay, so you got another story here?
Yeah, I do. This again came from Zero Hedge. Is China's Day of Reckoning coming? And it talks about deleveraging is policy in China now, financial policy. The shadow banking system is simply the system of financial transactions that happen outside of the banking system's oversight facility. And whenever China makes a substantive change to its monetary policy to burst another part of the shadow banking industry bubble, these bouts of deleveraging occur. And there is also a wave of bankruptcies and corporate bond defaults as well. And in this case, it's a coal mining company, Windtime Energy, who defaulted on CNY $11 billion of bonds this week.
That's a lot.
That's intense. There have been 18 such corporations doing bond defaults this year. There will likely be dozens, if not hundreds more. And this is because of the Trump-China trade war taking its toll on global trade. It's going to disrupt supply chains, which it already has. I believe Maersk has filed for bankruptcy.
Yes.
And will cause sharper upward demand.
Well, they haven't filed for bankruptcy, but they're definitely struggling.
Yeah.
And it's because they're trying to consolidate cargo. It's actually taking things like mail longer to get from the mainland to here in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Because I had somebody who mailed me two packages on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
One got here about a week ago. The other one is still somewhere out on the Pacific Ocean.
Lost in translation. And another thing that we need to be concerned about, and this came to us from RT, from a gentleman whose last name I am probably going to slaughter, but I will try.
Shatamasabi.
Darius Shatamasabi from Russia Today. And apparently, the United States, Australia, and New Zealand are deeply concerned about Chinese influence expansion throughout the Pacific region.
Well, there's our music.
Okay.
All right. Well, so they're all nervous about China. End of story. All right. This is it. End of our show for this Powhana Friday. Please stay tuned for John Stadmiller. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's got lots of interesting things to share with you. And please share what we tell you with everybody that you know. Have a nice, safe weekend. Please donate to Republic Broadcasting. We'll talk to you on Monday. Aloha, America.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.